Busy, busy, busy. We're all so very busy. Well, maybe there's a few of you sitting here today that realize that it's not necessary to be busy every moment of the day. And for you, you probably have found the greater good in having contentment, just spending time alone. But many of us, pastors and lay people alike, are on duty 24/7. We're connected to our families, our co-workers, our congregations, our clients by our Blackberries, our PDAs, our cell phones, emails, and text messaging. I'll even bet there's been some here who have text messaged during a worship service. Many of us, myself included, check our email before we go to bed at night and then first thing in the morning, not wanting to miss any event that might have happened while we were relaxing with our family or friends or getting a good night's rest. Some of us check our email several times during the day also. We act as if we might miss something important and then discover that our email box is only filled with junk, like ideas for mortgage reduction or ads for Cialis or Viagra or Paxil or Prozac and so on and so forth. This busyness has cost us in terms of fatigue and stress, a loss of focus and frustration, even anger at times. Even in the midst of success, we need to take time off. Even when we're working for justice, we need to take a breath to gain perspective, to revive our spirits. Students who work through the creative process have identified a rhythm of creativity: preparation, concentration, rest, and then insight and discovery. Our busyness, however, often gives us a false sense of connection. We are connected with others on a superficial level with information. But because we are so busy, we often miss what it really means to have committed relationships. We just get to know people at a surface. And we miss that need that comes from true nurturing and from true intimacy and creativity and wonder. In today's gospel reading, the disciples have just concluded a successful journey of healing and teaching. And they return elated. I can just imagine how they come back to Jesus and each person's trying to tell their story of some great healing or some great teaching. But in the midst of that, Jesus realizes also that as they were coming and going, they had no time for leisure, even to eat. And perhaps Jesus took a deep commitment. Jesus knew that it took a deep commitment to be able to sustain this ministry that he had sent them out on. And so he invites them to a deserted place. He invites them to come away for a time of rest and renewal. As you look at your life, where is your deserted place? I want us to think about that today. Where do you physically, emotionally, or spiritually have a place of rest, a place of peace, a place apart? Now, I'll bet if I was asking you to respond, you might say that your place of rest is a quiet place, maybe a favorite chair, a place where you have your prayer time, where you meditate and study. Some of you may even have a meditation room in your home. I have walked in this into this sanctuary many times and found people sitting here praying and reading scripture. Maybe you like to go into the woods or to the seashore. Your quiet place can also be possibly a rejuvenating activity. Gardening, walking, stargazing, journaling, meditating, praying, writing poetry, or even driving in your car by yourself. The health of our body, mind, and spirit and relationships requires stillness as well as action, space as well as intimacy. Even the most intimate friends and couples require time alone. Cahil Gibran noted in the Prophet, "Let there be spaces in your togetherness." The pillars of love must be appropriately distant from each other in order to support a healthy and embracing relationship that reaches out to others. Yes, there is an art and a discipline to finding a deserted place for prayer and for recreation, recreation. Sometimes the whole world conspires against the rest and the silence necessary for spiritual growth and for personal and relational well-being. In today's gospel reading, Jesus and his followers seek a quiet place. And in the midst of their silence, many saw them and recognized them and sought them out. And Jesus had compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Compassion is the gift of connectedness, not only with the experiences of others, their joy and pain, but also with God and our deeper selves. Compassion is an interesting word. As I've recently came to understand that compassion means really so close to us. It actually is part of our body, and it actually comes from the word womb, as you think of a woman nurturing a baby. Compassion is that intimate. Rest and recreation are necessary for true compassion. Fatigue leads to us objectifying people as simple projects that need to be completed, or cases that have to be solved, or victories that have to be won. Even when we are in the midst of challenging situations, we need to breathe deeply and to step back in order to see the other in his or her wholeness. This gospel reading challenges us to prayerful boundary setting. Jesus took time apart with his followers. His no to work, even the good work of healing and teaching, said yes to spiritual growth and self-care. His yes to compassion was grounded in his interconnectedness with God and his followers. Boundary setting is such a challenge for all of us, pastors and lay people alike. We want to help people, but we find ourselves with too many demands at times. Burnout is a concern, even for the most faithful followers of Jesus. We need to love ourselves in the midst of loving others. And in doing so, we experience the peace of Christ that breaks down the dividing walls of us and them, of self and other. What boundary setting practices can enhance our health and deepen our relationship with God? What practices can bring greater health to our congregation? While each person's spiritual boundaries differ based on our energy and our personality type, let me suggest a few possibilities. Right at the top is Sabbath time, a few hours a week, a day a month, a few days each year for retreat and prayer. Sabbath is so hard to carve out in our busy life. We almost feel guilty when we think about it. How could we spend some hours not doing something? Heaven forbid a day or even a weekend or a week, a year. Or breathing your prayers, filling your day with intentional breathing within and between our tasks as a means of remembering God's presence and centering in God's companionship as you go about your everyday routine. You know, that is something that has really touched me, thinking about how we can make our whole life a prayer as we go through our days and breathe, as we breathe in, just experiencing God in everything. Keeping our meals sacred. You know, the first Christians, when they came together to eat, it was a very sacred time, breaking bread together. And think of how we have changed eating. Some of us don't even have time to have meals together as a family. But when we do, making that time special, a time when we don't answer the phone, we allow the message machine to get it, or we use caller ID. Cultivating intimate relationships. Intimate relationships take time. They require leisure. They require quality time for people to get to know each other at a deep level. Learning to distinguish the important from the trivial. Many people go from crisis to crisis and really don't even allow themselves the time to decide if the next thing that they're about to do really is that important. They just respond immediately and sometimes to the least important thing. We need to cultivate a sense of what is truly important, what must be done now, and what can be done later. Learning to say no. Many of us say yes when we really want to say no. And then what happens often, we are drained of our energy and our focus because our heart is not there. When we are tempted to say yes to something, when you are, you really don't want to do it. Remind yourself that you may also be saying no to something more important, such as your prayer life, your family, deeper relationships, healthy rest, to name a few. Sabbath rest, finding a deserted place, is an act of trust in God's care for us and God's gift for new possibilities. We can let go of certain tasks in order to do those tasks that are most important for nurturing our relationship with God and our family. Doing this letting go of certain things is an act of faith, an act of faith in which we trust others and God to be faithful and responsible as well. But again, Jesus is our model. Jesus let go of his need to supervise his followers and let them take responsibility for the success of his overall ministry. The wisdom of the ascension of Jesus in Acts 1 is that God gives us space to create new things. God maximizes freedom and creativity and takes the risk that we will come up with something new and different even than God might have planned. We all need a spirituality of summer. Persons need Sabbaths, and so do congregations from time to time. I know of one congregation at least that actually took a sabbatical year, and they refrained from all programs in order to experience the rest necessary to face the future that God had planned for them. Where is your quiet place? Where is your deserted place? One man challenged another to an all-day wood chopping contest. The challenger worked hard, stopping only for a brief lunch break. The other man had a leisurely lunch, and he took several breaks throughout the day. At the end of the day, the challenger was surprised and annoyed to find that the other fellow had chopped substantially more wood than he had. And he says, "I don't get it. Every time I checked, you were taking a rest. Yet you chopped more wood than I did." "But you didn't notice," the winning woodsman said, "that I was sharpening my axe when I sat down to rest." I ask you each to consider, how will you make time this week for spiritual Sabbath in your life? And I'd like to end this message with a time of silent prayer. And in this time, I invite you, as much as is able, to not dwell on thoughts, to not give a litany or a list to God, but to be in God's presence. Breathe in God's strength and God's love for you. And I promise it won't be too long, because I know it's uncomfortable for us to sit still and just be in God's presence. Let us pray.